السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Can you say بالدم؟ 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 Why guys are not strong enough? Again, بالدم؟ بالروح؟ بالدم؟ بالروح؟ بالدم؟ بالروح؟ ما شاء الله. What does it mean through our blood and soul, inshallah, with our ruh and our blood, we are ready for the cause of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah. Salatu wassalamu ala Rasulillah. Muhammad ibn Abdullah. Wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man tabi'ahum bi ihsan ila yawmiddin amma ba'd. Let me thank our scholars and the teamwork that they have done to bring all this knowledge together. Knowledge is strength. Actually, knowledge is something, and especially knowing about our history from Adam alayhi salam till today, and inshallah till the day of Qiyamah, because we are one ummah. Humanity begins from Adam alayhi salam. And inshallah, we're going to be resurrected in day of Qiyamah. And we will be talking to every prophet. In day of Qiyamah, there is a beautiful hadith that we will go to Adam alayhi salam and say, "Oh, Abuna Adam, you are our father, please save us." And we will be going to Nuh alayhi salam, Ibrahim alayhi salam, Musa alayhi salam. And every one of them, they will say, "We have other matters to take care of in this verdict," and our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be, insha'Allah, our shafi' for the entire humanity. Insha'Allah, he will be shafi' for all those who are righteous, insha'Allah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make all of us who have gathered here, we have actually devoted our time just to understand, learn. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst those who are going to be resurrected with Anbiya alayhim salatu wassalam, and going to be worthy of shafa'at of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Like our Mufti Sahib explained, from Adam alayhi salam, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created this world, Allah had a plan, and that's how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placed the thing. Ka'batullah is right in the center of the world, the center of the earth. And Masjid al-Aqsa, it's in a further one corner. And that's how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala planned humanity. And humanity exists and humanity continued. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to unify humanity. From the time the birth of sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one of the mu'jiza, the mother of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that she was actually relating this story for Halimatu Sa'diya radiallahu anha. She told, you know, the time of the birth, I saw light which is spreading. It actually spread till the Sham, Bilad al-Sham. That is the Palestine and that area. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went in a journey of Isra and Mi'raj. And then he led all the Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam, the arwah of Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam, in Masjid al-Aqsa, and went in the journey of Mi'raj. Until the second year Hijri, our Qibla of the entire humanity, the Qibla of from Adam alayhi salam till the second year of Hijrat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it was the what? Qibla was Masjid al-Aqsa. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala changed the Qibla in the second year Hijri. We know when we go for Umrah, we go to Masjid al-Qiblatayn. It's a salah of 4 rak'ah. So 2 rak'ah was performed towards the Masjid al-Aqsa, and second 2 rak'ah was performed towards the Masjid al-Aqsa. So this is how the connection comes here. Once Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam became prophet, now there is no more division. We are one ummah. Allah speaks about Bani Israel, Ahlul Kitab, all this is spoken. But from the time of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whatever previous sharia is what? Null and void. Now Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has been given a new sharia. new deen for the entire humanity. And all those who accept, whoever they are, family-wise, genetic-wise, genealogy-wise, whoever they are, once they say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, or Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, they become what? Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They become follower of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Even the people who don't believe in sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they also come up. Because the time from the birth of sallallahu alayhi wa sallam till the day of Qiyamah, it is the period of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that's something very, very important. We need to understand that our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never differentiate between anyone. He established one very clear message. When sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to Medina and established La ikraha fid din, there was no compulsion of everyone believing in Islam, no. The Jews, Banu Qurayza, Banu Qaynuqa, they were living there. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had what? Peace agreement with them. Peace agreement with them. With Christians, peace agreement with them. There is no one can force anyone to do that. And you know, when the Zionists established the new version of their coming back to their homeland, they say all Jews can come back. All Jews. That means genetically, if you can trace, genetically tracing from your mother's side, anyone from any part can come. But if they are Muslim, they can't come. Oh, what does it mean? That means there are genetically those who were like, what? They come under Israelite, but there is Muslims who believe in the prophethood now, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is a clear discrimination which begins. If you run through our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and all prophets came to one very important matter. When it comes to matter of Palestine and Masjid al-Aqsa, Mufti Sahib said, it's a matter of justice. No prophet preached injustice. There was always, Dawud alayhi salam was commanded to go in because there was injustice. Musa alayhi salam was commanded to go in because there was oppression and injustice taking place. To go and conquer because there is oppression and injustice taking place. There is no, you cannot use religious terms or you cannot bring religious reference and kill innocent people. No. No religion will what? Approve that. No religion will approve that. And if you say then there is something wrong with that text. There's something wrong with it. Every innocent person's life have to be protected. Unless that person has committed a crime which is worthy to be killed, and that has to be proven through a court, and then punishment should be given. Another person cannot, just one individual cannot decide to take the life. Unless he is proven guilty in a court which is worthy of taking a life. If not, Allahu Akbar, Arulullahi wasi'a fatuhajiru fiha. This earth belongs to Allah, is so spacious, you go migrate wherever you are, go and live peacefully. These boundaries are created by us. Boundaries are created by us. This entire earth Allah created for the children of Adam. We are children of Adam. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to unify the children of Adam. Unify that. We are one ummah. We belong to that. So this concept, this is not battle between two religions. Remember, this is always, like Mufti Sahib said, there is Israelites who follow the true religion, and there is some, they actually took the virtue of being, having the blood and genealogy, and they followed the taghut, the shaitan. There is always a battle between those who follow shaitan and those who are following the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu waliyul ladhina amanu yukhrijuhum min adh-dhulumati ila an-nur. In Surah Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about it. Where Ibrahim alayhi salam debates with the king. The story comes about giving life taking life. Sun rises from east and, you know, sets in the west. And all this debate comes. It's always right through from Adam alayhi salam till the day of Qiyamah. Righteous people, it is always those who follow shaitan and hawa. They may use the religious term. They may use religious term. They may come and say this is because of our religious right. But it's not religious reason, because a religion will never ever confirm killing innocent people. But they can come up and justify so many things. Like Fir'aun justified saying that, oh, there is a threat for you. There's a future threat. So you kill the children. So can you justify that? Can we justify from which religious background we can justify that? Can you do that? You come and live here 1,000 years, your generation live. Someone comes 1,000 years later and says, my great, 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 never ending, great, 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 grandfather's grandfather lived here. So now you get out, or I kill you. In which law you can justify that? Yes, in Torah, they had a mission. They were given. Actually, remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Quran speaks most about Bani Israel. You know why Allah speaks about Bani Israel? Allah favored them. Allah gave them chances over and chance over and over. Whenever they were given power, whenever they were given wealth, whenever they were given opportunity, they misused. Quran says, "In ahsantum, ahsantum li anfusikum, wa in asatum falaha." Whenever they were given. If you go detailly, Mufti Sahab was saying about Fir'aun was oppressing Bani Israel. There's two sides of the story. One is the oppression of Fir'aun, the dhulum of Fir'aun. And before that, before Qibti was ruling, the Egypt and colonized that entire area. Why did this, you know, the Bani Israel, why did they go to Egypt? First of all, according to Torah, they were not supposed to leave what? Ardh Palestine. They were not supposed to leave. Children of Ismail alayhi salam. They went through difficulty over difficulty. Tribes came, took over. Khuza'a came, took over. They destroyed the Zamzam. For 300 years, Zamzam was not to be seen. No water. Famine over famine. But one mission, they told our great grandfather Ismail alayhi salam, our mission is to protect this Masjidul Haram, so we will never migrate. They stick to that mission. They were given that mission and they stick to that mission. They stood, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought through Adnan. From Adnan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought Qusay ibn Qilab, who actually, you know, took over from Khuza'a, the tribe of Khuza'a, who introduced idol worship. Qusay ibn Qilab, when he took over, his intention was, because Qusay ibn Qilab and Khuza'a, what is his name? Abu Luhay al-Khuza'i, right? He introduced a lot of influence. When he took over that land, he said, no, I'm going to re-establish Tawheed. But Qusay ibn Qilab couldn't do it. Hashim couldn't do it. Quraysh couldn't do it. Hashim couldn't do it. Abdul Muttalib couldn't do it. But Abdul Muttalib's grandson, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they never left that land. Go and read the history. This both children of Ismail alayhi salam was given the responsibility of protecting Masjidul Haram. Children of Yaqub Ishaq alayhi salam was given the responsibility of protecting Masjidul Aqsa, that land. But when they saw greener pasture in Egypt, what happened? They left. They forgot the mission. They left their They were enjoying because after Yusuf alayhi salam, they were ruling. They were ruling the Egypt. Go and see the history. When they were ruling, they were oppressing the Kibbutis. Fir'aun came with the saying that he came up with that because these are minority, they are ruling us and they're oppressing us. They are most racist. You can see that. You can see that. They speak about racism. They speak about anti-Semitism. But you know, Islam and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to destroy all this racism. We are children of Adam alayhi salam. Children of Adam alayhi salam. So when they came, Allah put them in difficulty because they forgot their mission. And soon as Musa alayhi salam, Allah protected them. What was the first mission given to them? What was the first mission? Go back to Palestine. Now they are enjoying now. They are free from Fir'aun. Now they come up with different excuses. They cannot do it. One after other. They gave so much of trouble for Musa alayhi salam. I'm not saying all of them. There were good people amongst them. But this was the majority. That's why in the battle of Badr, the Sahaba says, "O Ya Rasulullah, we're not going to say the people of Musa what they say. Anta wa rabbuka faqatila." No, Ya Rasulullah, we're going to stand in front of you, right, left, behind. If you say to jump, we will jump. We are ready to do that. Allahu Akbar. Because this lesson was taught to Sahaba Karam. These lessons were taught. So then again, who did it? The first temple, like Mufti Saab said, went back to Dawood alayhi salam and Sulaiman alayhi salam, mashallah, they were given the blessing. Again, the blessing, what happened? Whenever the blessings are given, they fight amongst them also. Because amongst them, there are 12 tribes. Within them also, they had high caste and low caste. So again, Mufti Saab explained, they were what? Divided. So this is the history which is repeated, which is going on down. There is no religious, foundation or religious requirement. When Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came, no more that mission. Now it is one ummah, children of Ishaq alayhi salam and Yaqub alayhi salam and children of Ismail alayhi salam and all humanity. That's not only the children of Yaqub and children of Isa alayhi salam, Ismail alayhi salam living in the world. There are children from other part of, you know, all together we are one ummah. One ummah. This one ummah is given the responsibility of protecting all these sacred three mosques. So this sacred mosque was protected. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam continued, and even though in the lifetime of sallallahu alaihi wasallam only went in the journey of Isra and Mi'raj. At that time, it was not under the control of the Muslims. It was under the control of the Christians, the Romans. They were controlling it. In time of Umar radiallahu anh, actually the battle started in time of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anh. When the time the army came closer to Palestine, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anh passed away. Umar radiallahu anh takes over and the mission continues without even a bloodshed. Umar radiallahu anh took over. Allahu Akbar. Establish a very peaceful covenant, beautiful agreement. Everyone lived. Palestine, when we refer to Palestine, this is another misunderstanding. When we refer to Palestine, we are not only referring to Muslims. When you're referring to Palestine, there is Christians, there is Jews, there is Muslims, there is so many other. In Christian, there are so many, you know, different sects. All of them are Palestinians. All of them referred as Palestinians. So in time of Umar radiallahu anhu, Umar radiallahu anhu made sure that church will be protected. Allahu Akbar. Even one of the oldest church, you know, the key is given to what? The Muslim families. Still they're protected because within the Christianity they had a lot of fights. And then this continued. After Umar radiallahu anhu, after Khulafa al-Rashidin, the Umayyad period comes. In Umayyad period, only the first time the Dome of the Rock has been, you know, erected in order to symbolize the Isra and Mi'raj of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam.
Right?
And then after Umayyad, the Abbasid Khilafat comes in. And then suddenly, from the Muslims, we have all white, grey, black. History goes that way, you know. We have good periods and then we go down, up and down. In our history also we have. Another thing we need to remember, we as Muslims, when our rulers ruled, it was not, you know, a pure white sheet of, you know, record. No. There have been lots of things. There have been ups and downs. But percentage-wise, alhamdulillah, we can give 60 to 65 to 70%, alhamdulillah, justice was established. So it continued. When the Fatimid, this is the Shia sect, came, when they took over, then what happened? Until that time, it was free. Anyone can come. Christians can come, Jews can come, Muslim comes, everyone came. They knew what they were supposed to do, how they respected the place. Everyone knew what to do and what not to do. But when they came, they need to show something different. They came up with a little bit of a extreme version, like extreme interpretation, and say, no, we cannot allow Christians to come in. This is a holy land. And we cannot allow the churches to be there. So they came up with that and destroy a few churches, kill some Christians, and then only the Crusaders. Beginning of the 10th century. The end part. 1090, I think, right? 1090, in this period, the first Crusaders come in. They came in because of oppression. When there is oppression, remember, when dhulm take place, any kingdom or anything which is based is dhulm, oppression, it will not last. Only justice and ihsan, you know, you have kindness, humanity, that will be protected. So what happened? The Crusaders takes over, and then again, they did the opposite. Because what happened? Retaliation, again, lots of blood was shed. And then Salahuddin Ayyubi, beautiful story, he comes and takes over. There's Crusaders attempts first time, second time, even third time. Third time, they made agreement with Salahuddin Ayyubi. Then it continues with the Ayyubids. And then the Seljuks comes, that is the Turks. The Seljuks comes and they take over. When the Seljuks, the Turks takes over, they had a beautiful system how they ruled. And actually they tried that in Palestine. They had a concept of millet. People, you go and read in Ottoman Empire, what is the concept of millet? Millet means every religion, they had their own courts. For Christian denomination, they had the courts on their own. For Muslim, they will be judged according to their scriptures. So they bought this justice system of millat and introduced that everyone can live. MashaAllah, again, till the late 1900, what happened? Again, the Ottomans lived and they ruled for a longer period. And then the European colonizers. Remember one thing, sometimes some people try to show, okay, if you say the Europeans, they are colonizers, then what you Muslims, didn't you go and colonize? Remember one thing, very, very important. Wherever Muslims went, they actually went to take away injustice and take a ruler who was oppressing the people. And once that person is removed, they trained the local people and gave the leadership for the local people and they moved out. And it was the umbrella setup of leadership. So there was local people who are responsible. Responsible. And then similarly what's happening, you know, Jewish people also went through some difficult stages in their life. They went all over, spread all over, and wherever they went, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed them. Wherever they go right to the bottom, where Allah has given them different kind of blessing that they will start from nothing and they will come up. In Europe, they were kicked out everywhere. They were not able to do anything. In the First World War and the Second World War, there's another story, this is recently I read it. There's two stories. You know, Hitler killed how many million Jews? They say what? How many million? Holocaust was 6 million Jews. That's what they say, right? There's various reasons. I am not saying it's correct. You know, every innocent life have to be protected, no matter who they are. But that's the story of it. In the beginning of 1600s, all church, because now when the European powers were ruling, they had the Christian values. In Christianity also, the usury interest is what? Haram. So no Christians could do any transaction in what? Interest. Lend money and take more money. So Christians were very scared to do that, because they were like overlooked. All these rulers, they were overlooked by the churches. Churches will always take care and see what's happening. So these people who had excess money and wealth, they went and gave it to the Jews. You know, they go and give their gold to the Jew. So Jew had no other option other than what? Starting a business based on interest. This is, you go and read. This is how the banking system start. This is how the banking system start. They go and give the gold, and then he give a chit. Right? And then he start giving more chit for the same gold. Now the paper currency is introducing. This is how it came in. So what happened? Eventually, there's more chits out in the market than the amount of the gold. And lots of Christians and lots of, you know, people with, you know, armed force, they actually owe money to the Jew. When this war came up, they thought, okay, I owe this guy money. If I kill him, I don't need to give him. Out of 6 million, many people, many Jews were killed because they owes money for them. So no one, that happens. You know, these type of casualties happens when you have, you know, something going on in between. You are angry with the neighbor, you do something to the neighbor, and then blame is taken, someone else take the blame. Hitler took all the blame. Hitler has to take all the blame, right? This is history also talk about this. So they started it. And again, the British, who influenced the Rothschild, writes a letter. Who is Rothschild? The Balfour Declaration comes with him. Who is he? Who is the founder of this entire banking system, the family which founded it? And they wanted this. And my dear brothers and sisters, this land, they're claiming, they're just claiming to build the third temple. There's nothing called third temple. There's nothing called third temple. This is only, they know that Dajjal is coming. Dajjal, they say, they were waiting for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to come. When Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam came, Rasulullah was not from Israelites. So they were very racist. They were not ready to accept Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And they said, oh, is that Messiah is now Dajjal. Now they're waiting for whom? Dajjal. Isa alayhi salam came, Isa alayhi salam continued, and Isa alayhi salam was against their mission. So they were trying to what? Kill Isa alayhi salam. Isa alayhi salam was one of their, what? From Israelites. So many prophets they killed. Quran speaks about it. So those who don't confirm with their vision and mission, they will kill and they will destroy. And this is happening from the time, from right through. They started, this plotting started. From when? Surah Yusuf speaks about it. Plotting started when? They plotted against their own brother, who? Yusuf alayhi salam and Binyamin. And they were so arrogant. They were so arrogant. And when they got to know about Binyamin and Yusuf alayhi salam, they were actually referring to certain incident which is very, very old. And they did the mistake, everything. In the end, Yusuf alayhi salam respond to them with one word. What is it? Antum sharrum makana. That's it. Yusuf alayhi salam's one response. Antum sharrum makana. I have no answer. Antum shar. You're my brothers. But the place that you come from is evil. Referred to their mothers. Referred to their mothers. And Israelite, their genealogy goes through. From whom? from their
mothers.
Yusuf alayhi salam said in the Quran, in Surah Yusuf is there, wa antum sharru makana. The place that you come from is your place is evil. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us, my dear brothers and sisters, but we are not supposed to hate them. We are here to invite them towards salam, peace. We are here to invite them towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we are speaking about the reality, what happened. We are not here, we should not have, as Muslims, we should never ever have and hold a person because of his father or grandfather's mistake. No. Abu Jahl is the biggest enemy. Allahu Akbar. But when Abu Jahl's son, Ikrimah radiallahu anh, came, our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, none of you should mention about Abu Jahl in front of Ikrimah. Allahu Akbar. What a beautiful religion. Accepted Ikrimah radiallahu anh, embraced Ikrimah radiallahu anh, gave leadership for Ikrimah radiallahu anh. Gave leadership for Ikrimah radiallahu anh. And Abu Sufyan, Khalid ibn Walid was a, you know, radiallahu anh, for the battle of Uhud. He is the one, the main reason of Shuhada of Uhud. Wahshi radiallahu anh. Soon as they realize they do tawbah, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam embraced them and said, forget about. Amr ibn As radiallahu anh, he had, you know, planned and plotted against sallallahu alaihi wasallam so much. When he came to embrace Islam, to say shahada, just before saying shahada, oh, I have one condition. Will I be accountable for what I have done in the past? Because he was scared. Because so much of harm he has done for Muslims. Then Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Ama ta'lam, don't you know, Amr ibn As? أَنَّ الْإِسْلَامُ يَهْدِمُ مَا كَانَ قَبْلًا. Islam will destroy whatever before. You are that newborn today. You're newborn today. We shouldn't, as Muslims, our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, no. Those brothers, our brothers in Gaza, they took, you know, people as hostage. How beautifully they treated them. Allahu Akbar. They did not show animosity and anger on them. This is the beauty of Islam. They did not, because those innocent people, it is in a war affair, you take this as a technique, you have to have a, you know, win-win situation, you do these things. But how beautifully they treated them. How many of them have gone as captives and came out and said, Shahada, ashadu an la ilaha illallah, wa ashadu anna Muhammad Rasul. Even now, they can all live. Everyone can live. They welcome them. When the Europeans were assassinating them, killing them, that land is blessed land. They welcome them. Say, come brothers. Give them protection. And then from 1947, what's happening? We all know for 75 years, it's betrayal over betrayal. Until now, there's no. They came to an agreement of two states. They always keep asking other side, do you accept? They ask the Palestinian, do you accept two states? Do you accept two states? But they never ask the Israelis, do you accept the two states? No. They never ask. Have you seen anywhere the question that? The immunity which the world has given them. So much of immunity. 1947, the first Nakba. 1948, what happens? How many millions of people living out? This is the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is not that thing. This is Allah's sunnah. And definitely we are victorious. ذَلِكَ الْفَوْزُ الْكَبِيرُ. It's victory. As long as we remain in haq. As long as we remain in haq. Those who are there tomorrow, if they say shahada and come in, we will embrace them as our brothers and sisters. Whoever they are. That is the deen that we have taught. That is the deen. That is the deen of Bilal Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There is no race in Islam. Everyone, now we are here seated from how many different parts of the world, different languages that we speak. But we are together as brothers and sisters. We are together as brothers and sisters. So all these holy lands have to be protected. It is a responsibility of a righteous people to protect that. Insha'Allah, like kingdom, there is one hadith refers that, you know, Khilafat starts here in Medina, goes, and final Khilafah will be where? in Jerusalem, inshallah. And Isa alayhi salam will come there, where Babul Lud, where Dajjal will be killed there, inshallah. And then Isa alayhi salam will establish. So we are waiting for that. So until that, this has to go through. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is testing us. Allah is testing us. We are not supposed to hate anyone. And we don't spread hatred or animosity. We only spread what? Peace and love and brotherhood. And we speak for justice. We have to speak for justice. Always, whoever it is. If one of our brothers does something wrong, we have to very clearly say it's wrong. It's wrong. What is happening around there? It's wrong. Others surrounding, Allah has a different plan. Certain things we come to know by the news. But you know, one of our analyzers says, you know, in the news, you need to learn, read between the lines. 80% is fabricated, 20% only truth. So you must be very smart enough to, what? Take out that 20% truth. There are so many things that we don't get to know. And they keep coming up this story, keep speaking to innocent young children in the name of Judaism. And they say only that our peace, our land and kingdom is going to be established. We are not sent to this world to establish a kingdom or khilafat. We are sent here to take care of whatever Allah's ni'mah has been given and to establish justice. Whoever it is, when Abyssinian king, Christian king, when he was ruling unjust, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told the sahabas, migrate there. Go there. He was a Christian king. Najashi was a Christian. No matter. We are here. All of us are very proudly, we are here in Canada. Why we are here? Why we came here? Because we have safety. We have security. We have human rights. Our rights are there. Am I right? Every one of us here. Wherever there is justice, wherever we have the freedom of religion, freedom of expression, our human rights is protected. For that is the first. Ibrahim alayhi salam first battle stood, what? Freedom of expression. Freedom of religion, freedom of thought. You cannot doctrinate anyone, you know. But this mission will continue. We need to. And finally, this continuing for 75 years, like Mufti Saab was explaining, from the time of Adam alayhi salam, this land is witnessing what? Trouble over one after other, one after other, one after other. It will continue. So sometime in our lifetime, we're not going to see end for it, or we're not going to see something. But we have to do something that we leave behind certain athar, trace, that will help us inshallah in day of qiyamah. Our brothers and how it goes, that's something very, very important. Finally, I will conclude with this. You know, how this jihad is a fard kifaya. You know what is fard kifaya? It is not fard upon everyone. If it is fard upon only a small group of people. At the moment, for people of Palestine, jihad becomes what? Fard. Right? Not upon us. Not upon us. Our jihad is here that we raise our voice. Not using violence. Sometimes the emotions, stupidity comes in. Oh, we see a guy, Jew guy is going, oh, let me go and beat him. He's an innocent guy. If you do that, you're doing the same thing what they are doing. You're not supposed to do that. You're not supposed to do that. Even when you meet your enemy out of the battlefield, you cannot kill. You know that. He's your enemy. In the morning, okay, you say, okay, I'm not in the battlefield, we are going to eat. While they're eating, while sleeping, you're not supposed to attack. This is the law of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when it comes to the law of battle. So you cannot sit here and say, okay, we're going to do that. Some stupid people, recently, 2013-12, in Syria, Iraq and all that, a group came up, ISIS, what that? Islamic, you know, caliphate. What did they do? My Ustad, Rahimullah, may Allah grant him Jannatul Firdaus. You know, when I asked him about it, because at that time everybody was thinking, oh, there's something happening. Ask him, he said one thing. He said, these people not upon haqq. I asked, what is the evidence? He said, the way they are treating the dead body, they are not upon haqq. You know, as Muslim, even you kill your enemy after the death, you treat that body with respect. This is the teaching of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When ISIS, whatever they were doing, and after they kill, and they were not treating the dead body with respect. So, but by seeing only that and say they are not upon haqq. Only they didn't, he didn't say whether they are Muslim or what it is. Only thing he said that they are not upon haqq. Be careful. Tell the youngsters to be careful. Lots of people in Western world, they all got motivated, all traveled. Lot of people traveled. Even now they will try to come up with these thing ideas, you know. No. Here, your Amir is your local Imams. You don't take decision on your own. Here, your Amir is your local Imams. Here, your Amir is your parents. They know Islam better than you. So when there is emotions, you see all this oppression, yes, we cannot bear it. But that doesn't mean you go and kill another innocent life. That doesn't mean you go and do stupidity. And even in the battlefield, Ali radiallahu anhu, in the battlefield, he put the enemy down, he's almost chopped his neck. The enemy spat on his face and used some filth. Ali radiallahu anhu left him. Later they asked him, why did you do that? You know, earlier I wanted to kill him because he's an enemy of Allah. But soon as he spit into my face and he used filth word, I got angry. So if I would have killed, I will be answerable to Allah because I killed him out of my anger. Allahu Akbar. Can you do that? You cannot express your emotion, anger, the problem that you have at home. You see all these. If you cannot control, don't watch those things. Your emotion has to be controlled. But educate yourself. Learn. These type of sessions are very important. Come to masjid. Get connected with your imam. Learn more about it. Learn about the people. Learn about those lands. And see what you can do. Yes, keep writing. Write to your President or Prime Ministers, write to the people who are in authority. Keep doing it. That is your responsibility. You can keep doing that. So through that, definitely Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it will not remain like this. You know, there was a time, you know, Muslims, like we were doing well due to our own faults, due to our own mistakes, that we ignored our main objective. So Allah is testing us. We are going through a period of test. And definitely, inshallah, if we do tawbah and realize, Allah will give us, you know. And my dear respected brothers, this world is not the end of our life. Our life is about akhirah, inshallah. So our victory is if we die with iman and kalima and shahada, that is the greatest thing. Those people are lucky. Allahu Akbar, over 20,000 shuhadas. Over 20,000 shuhadas. And then they are lucky. And if we make dua for them every day, inshallah, we will share in their rewards, inshallah. Dua and whatever we can send with the proper channels. We have a proper system because you guys have to, you have a mission here. Don't forget about it. If Allah has sent you here, you have a mission in North America. You have a mission of establishing peace and justice. It's not about establishing, you know, everywhere, making everyone Muslim. No. That Allah will give hidayah whomever He wants it. But our mission is to establish peace and justice and brotherhood. That's it. Love everyone. Love all the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Love our fellow brothers and sisters in humanity. Love all of them. And that's the reason we need to actually spiritually practice, go down in the sujood and come. We should not have animosity. We need to do it everything with the guidance of our sharia. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all of us. I actually thank this young team of ulamas, mashallah. They're doing a wonderful job. And the management, mashallah, they're also doing a wonderful job. But as human beings, we're all learning. We have shortcomings. No, nothing is perfect. You know, we have lots of opinions. may come in. Those suggestions, constructive, you know, suggestions are very important. Continue this legacy of learning, you know. Very important. Finally, if you don't know history, that means you don't know your past. Remember, the entire humanity from Adam alayhi salam till the day of Qiyamah, we are equal to one human being. So know the history. If you don't know your past, what happens? Just suddenly what happened? You fall, your head knocks, you forget who you are. Just imagine a life like that. You come to Darussalam and you forget. From which door you came, who you are, where you're supposed to go, what happens to you? Just think about it. Scary, right? Scary. It's a dark life. You don't know who you are. Similarly, if you don't know history, that means you don't know your past. So we're supposed to know the history. We're supposed to know the authentic history. You know, that's very, very important. Now, you know, a lot of history is cooked up. You know, keep all, altering is done. But our scholars, Ibn Khaldun and all of them, mashallah, wrote Imam Ibn Kathir, rahimahullah, Bidaya wa Nihaya, everything is recorded. History is there. Our scholars, we need to learn. History is one very important. Like learning our seerah, learning tafsir, learning fiqh. Similarly, history is important because if you know the history only, we are continuing the same vision. Why Allah created Adam alayhi salam? And we are continuing the vision and the mission of all the prophets and continuing the mission of beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To know that, we need to know what is the mission. We need to know the baton is in our hand. So we will go in that. But nowadays, we don't have a mission and vision. Everyone's, what is mission and vision? We're worried about, oh, the prices are going high. Don't worry. Rental is going up, everything. Don't worry. 2 years ago, what was the price? Now you're eating the same food. Don't worry. Allah is Razik. That shouldn't be your biggest worry. Little bit of worry, fine. First, worry about Iman. Right? Second, worry about a good environment for your children. This is where Ibrahim alayhi salam, right? His dua. Third, last should be what? Your risk. You have to have a little bit of worry, but that should be the third priority, not the first priority. Now it has become the first priority. We learn, we go to university, everything. Oh, what's happening? All the jobs are taken. Lots of immigrants are coming. Oh, no, gone. Everybody. Now the immigrants who came here, they are worried about new immigrants coming. Nice joke. All immigrants, right? They are worried about, oh, this government policy is bad. Bring so much of immigrants. We're not going to big money. Don't worry. Allah is Razik. Right? Don't worry about it. But you need to worry about your Iman. Iman of your children. Ku anfusakum wa ahlikum nara. And then, second, environment. They need to have good environment. Good people. If they don't have companionship with salihins, then you need to worry. You can't leave them in an environment, bad environment, expect them to become, you know, good people. Third is your risk. You make your effort every day, Allah will make sure because your risk is written. Don't worry, inshallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed. So let us all make dua that Allah will grant guidance for all, you know, all our leaders. You know, these people, they do not have hidayah. They don't see the truth. See, a lot of people. Recently, I saw an interview. A Jewish negotiator. He's a British and Israeli. He was a negotiator. He was a peacemaker. He was communicating. Now he comes out and speaking for the rights of the Palestinian. Allahu Akbar. So, it's you know, Allah can give hidayah for them. Allah can give hidayah for those leaders. So don't worry. Like Umar radiallahu anh, with the dua of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, those great people, they are great. That's why they are doing so many things. Worldly wise, they are great. But if the hidayah connects with them, they become greater. So inshallah, we'll make dua for them. We'll make dua for the dhalim and madlum. The oppressor and the oppressed. We make dua for oppressed. We understand. Why we make dua for the dhalim? Allah should what? Guide him, give him hidayah so he will not what? He will not oppress anyone, inshaAllah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all of us. Jazakumullah khaira wa akhir da'wana. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.